see how kindness has moved around a whole community there, and how when someone's kind to us, we just want to be kind to someone else. It prompts us to show love in return. A few months ago, I was at a conference, and I had a massive amount of things to take away from the conference. I'd been speaking, and I had a stand, and I had a big suitcase full of materials, and my own suitcase of clothes that I'd been wearing, and I had to get all the way back to Crieff, my town. And it was about two taxis, two buses, and three different trains to get home. And I had all this stuff, and I just looked at it and thought, no, I can't believe it. How am I going to get this stuff back? It was bad enough trying to get it here, and now I've got to take it all the way home again. And one of the other speakers said, if you're going to the station, I'll give you a lift in my car. And I thought, well, that'd be really nice. So he said, you just have to wait a few minutes. I just need to talk to somebody. A little while later, he came back, and he said, I'm sorry that took so long. I said, I know what it's like waiting for people because my dad was a vicar. And I said, I know what it's like waiting for people as well because my husband's a pastor. So we suddenly had this spiritual connection. You know, I had a suspicion he was a Christian, and he might have had a suspicion that I was, and now we knew that each other was a Christian. So we had this amazing drive to the station. And when he found out where I was going, he said, oh, I'm not going to take you to this station, the one in the town where the conference was. I'm going to take you to Stirling Station, which is just really quite near my home, relatively speaking. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be lovely? That's going to be so nice to get a lift all that way. That's like two trains and a couple of buses less that I have to hassle with all this stuff. And as we were talking in the car, he was telling me about his organization that him and his father have together called Drummond International. And his father, it turns out that he's a chaplain to the Queen, which is in Scotland. And together they have developed an organization to help young people with troubled realities. And they take them away to the island of Skye, and they just help them to get values that will change their life, help them to become leaders in their own community, inspire them to go to university, inspire them to do positive things with the people around them in their communities. And they also sponsor The Big Noise in Ratlock, which is, I think it's a band or a choir in a really poor area of a town in Scotland. And they've invested lots of money in that because it's actually transforming the community. And then he told me that him and his wife had adopted three children as well. And I was so inspired by all of his story. And I said to him at one point, what would you most like to be remembered for? And he said, without any question, without any hesitation, I want to be remembered for my kindness. And that was quite surprising. I mean, him and his father had done lots of amazing things to make a difference, but the key value that was in his life, that was transforming his life, motivating his life, probably motivating him to give me a lift to Stirling, was his kindness. That's what I want to do. That's the most important thing that I can live out in my life. Anyway, we got to Stirling Station, and he drove past. And I said, oh, you just missed the turning. He said, we're having such a good conversation, I'm just going to drive you all the way to Crieff. And he took me all the way to my home, which was about 30 or 40 miles out of his way at least. And I was just so touched by the power of his kindness. Someone who said, this is the way I want to live. This is the difference it's going to make. I wanted to make a difference to the world on a larger scale. But there's a little village that you may have heard of called Congresby. Maybe you haven't. It's such a little village. And they had an 800th anniversary last year. And they said, what can we do to celebrate 800 years of us being in this community? We could have a big fete, we could have a dinner party, we could have a concert, we could do all sorts of things. We could plant a garden, build a monument. And they decided what they would do was they would collect acts of kindness. And they decided that they would have a little box in their church, just like this, just a plain little box with a piece of paper around it. And they printed cards that said, if someone's been kind to you, we want to know, write it on the card and post it in a letterbox. We want to collect 800 in the year to celebrate 800 years of being here. And that's what they did. And on Christmas Day that year, they had their 800th card through the little letterbox in the church. And people said all sorts of things, like my neighbor made me a meal when I was sick and brought it round to my house. Someone mowed my lawn when I was away for a while. This person took care of my cat when I had to go away suddenly and I didn't know where to leave the cat. And they had all sorts of stories of kindness. And because this was what the town was doing, people kept thinking, how can I be kind? And when someone was kind, they noticed it more and noted it down on the card and shared it. And I wondered what would happen if we did that here in Hemel. If you had a little box outside your church, because you're very central, maybe you could call it the heart of Hemel, and collect people's acts of kindness, what would happen? Now, we have lots of examples of kindness in the Bible. We have Dorcas and the little dresses that she made. Maybe she was a seamstress, maybe she just had offcuts. She saw people who didn't have clothes, children who were growing, and she said, I'm just going to take what I have and make little clothes to share my kindness with the people around me. Or maybe like the widow of Zarephath, she just made a loaf of bread for Elijah. He was hungry, he was starving, there was a famine, but she said, I'm going to give you my last loaf of bread to show you my kindness. Then there was a Shunammite woman. She saw Elisha had nowhere to stay when he came by. And she said, I'm going to build you a room. I'm going to build you a room in my house so that when you come here, you have somewhere to stay that's just yours, where you can have peace and quiet, where you can talk to God, where you can just have your privacy. And she made him a room. She gave him a house, a roof over his head when he was homeless. And then we have other welcoming hospitality, Mary and Martha. I imagine that when Jesus went there with all of his disciples, there were quite a handful to feed, but that Mary and Martha would rustle up some soup and some bread and share it with them and wash their feet. And just that simple act of welcoming hospitality can be so powerful and so kind in our lives. Jesus said, even if we give someone a cup of cold water to even a little child, because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. So just giving a glass of water to someone who's thirsty, just handing a bottle of water out in the street to someone on a hot day, just giving a child a little drink of water is amazing. That's not forgotten. That little act of kindness might be just something tiny to you, but it's something very precious that Jesus holds on to. And a great example of our kindness was Jesus. And as we heard this morning on the lesson, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He had compassion. Everywhere he went, he had compassion to share kindness. He thought about what people needed. He thought about how sad they were. He thought about how hungry, how sick they were. And he had compassion on them and met their needs. Wordsworth has written a poem and I quite like this little line from it, because it shows how even the smallest thing can do acts of kindness. The daisy, by the shadow that it casts, protect the lingering dewdrop from the sun. So even though a daisy is so small and they're really tiny and they're just scattered in the grass and we barely take any notice of them, they can still protect a lingering dewdrop from the sun. And we can do that in so many different ways. People around us who are feeling hurt and vulnerable or overwhelmed, we can do something as a daisy to protect their dewdrop, do something that keeps them refreshed when they feel like drying out. I want you to think of a time when someone was especially kind to you. Can you remember a time when you experienced great kindness or even small kindness? Sometimes, you know, it's the small kindnesses that stay with you. We lived in America for a while when we first got married, and we were at Andrews University, and we went through a really tough time at one point, and a tragedy had happened. We were a long way from family. We couldn't be together with them, and it was really tough. We felt so kind of lonely and abandoned. And it was my birthday, but I worked during the day, and my husband had to go out in the evening and help with a big evangelistic campaign. So I would come home from work to an empty house. I'd have to go to bed before he came in because I had to get up early to work the next day, and he didn't get in till late. So it was quite lonely, really. And when I got back to our apartment, there was a little tiny box on my doormat. And in that box was a little tiny donut with a little tiny candle. Now this must be 30 years ago. And you know what? I've had lots of wonderful presents since then, from my husband, from my children, from all of my family, from my friends. I've had so many wonderful presents, and I'm sure I could think about them and list many of them. But that little donut with that little candle has stayed in my mind. The kindness that someone thought, there's Karen, it's her birthday, she's all alone, let's do something to cheer her up. And all they could afford, because they also didn't have very much money, was one little donut and one little candle. But that has stayed in my heart. That hasn't been forgotten. Because when people do kind things for us, they can often linger in our hearts for a very long time. And if you think about someone being kind to you, how does it change you right now? When you think about someone doing an act of kindness, does your heart warm again? Does a smile come to your face? Do you think, I'd love to do something kind back? I'd love to do something kind for someone else? When we're kind to others, kindness seems to grow and flourish, as we've seen in the children's story and in that video, that kindness prompts kindness, and it just keeps on growing. But kindness isn't just kindness. God gave us the opportunity to be kind, and he's inspired us to be kind, and he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to love the world. I want you to show the world how much I love them. But actually, kindness is really good for us, and the research is showing just how good it is. So when God says be kind, it's not just because it's a nice thing to do and it shares his love, but it's actually good for us as well. The kindness comes back into our own lives. So did you know that if you're kind, you have twice the amount of anti-aging hormone in your body, and 23% less cortisol, which is a stress hormone, so it lowers your stress, it keeps you young, it makes you happy, and it has the power to change the world. So it has all these good effects on you when you're kind as well. And if you look at 10 things that science says will make you happy, we have things there that are being kind. Smile, make friends, say thank you, give things away. All those things are ways of being kind that actually also make us happy. In fact, I was working with a psychologist in Scotland on a project to help children experience happiness. And she told me the number one way to help someone to be happy when they're depressed is not to give them drugs, it's not to give them counseling, it's to help them find someone else to help. And that is the most effective way of actually transforming their emotions. And that's a way that God has given us, that's put into our hearts, into his commandments from the word go. So love God passionately, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Because when we're kind, it has to come from there. It has to come from our experience of God's kindness and love for us. When we go and sit in his lap and he pours his love into our life and we really experience how much he is loving us, then our hearts are just filled up to bursting with that. And it pours out of us in loving actions on other people. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another and are kind, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And we love because he loved us first. So the love in our hearts has to come from God first before it can flow out through us in acts of kindness. When we want to think about being kind, it's really helpful to pray to the Holy Spirit to guide us, because his Spirit living in our lives helps us to be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and have self-control. All those things come from the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And the Holy Spirit can inspire us too, because sometimes he'll say to me, Karen, why don't you just do? And I think, nah, I can't do that. I'm shy. Like, I don't know this person. And God says, go on, just do it. And you do it, and you just have no idea what effect that's going to have on the other person. Sometimes you find out later. And there's sometimes times when the Holy Spirit says to me, go on, Karen, do it. And I'm like, nah, I'm not up to it today. And afterwards, I think, you know what, I should have. What would it have cost to have done that kind thing? It was just small. Just do it. I was at a conference with the Chief Medical Officer for Scotland, Sir Harry Burns. And he worked with people, he's a heart surgeon, and he did some research to find out what helped people to recover best from heart surgery. And what he found out, it was kindness and loving people around them. When they loved people and people loved them, it actually helped heal their hearts. And he said, the number one message I have for all of you is go out there and hug someone, even if it's scary. And his last slide of his PowerPoint is someone hugging this massive big tiger. He says, it will just transform the world if people just experience love through us and hug someone. He said, even if it's a bit scary, just do it. Something else we can do is keep our eyes open. Jesus was amazingly kind. The kindness just flowed through him all the time. And one thing that he did is he kept his eyes open. He had really good peripheral vision. Like, he noticed people that no one else ever noticed. He saw them at the corner of his eye, and he was kind to them. And we need to do that. We need to keep our eyes open, look at the corner of our eye, see who's lonely, who's being missed out, who's hungry, who needs to experience God's love all around us. Because there are thousands of people out there every day that we're passing that so need to experience God's love. So how can we keep our eyes open and aware? And Jesus saw Zacchaeus up a tree, and he sees the woman at the well, and he sees someone else in a corner, and the little children that come to him. And he said, I notice you, you're special. What can I do to show my kindness to you? So we need to keep our eyes open, and perhaps think every day, How can I be kind to someone today that I might never see again? We never know the effect it's going to have. And we can listen to the clues too, because people don't always tell us that they need something. They don't always tell us that they want some kindness. Sometimes they will just be sad, or they'll talk about their problems and their troubles. And actually what they're really wanting, even if they can't articulate it, is they just want someone to be kind to them. They just haven't experienced kindness some of the time. So we need to listen for the clues when people need our love, need God's love flowing through us into their lives. And often it just takes something so small, just a moment, to make a massive difference in someone else's life. Just a kind word. Not so far from here, a church, I don't know, you may have even heard about it, has a gratitude project. And what they do is they've gone out into their local community and they've said, tell us someone you want to thank in this community. Who should we thank? If we're going to thank people in this community, who should it be? And several people said, we should thank the bus driver on the number 52 bus, because he pauses and he stops when people need a lift and they're not so stable on their feet, or they've got a buggy. He will pause longer than he should to make sure they're safe, and he won't start the bus until they're settled, and sometimes he gets out of his cab to come and help. He's worth thanking. And so this church decided they were going to go along and thank him in a special way. So they found out when he was going to be on the bus. They got a box of chocolates, and they made a badge that said, I've been thanked. They made a certificate to take to him. And they stopped the bus, and they got on there, and they said, we've heard from people in this town. They want to thank you for being such a kind bus driver. And so we bought you a certificate and a badge and a box of chocolates. And he's like, you know what? No one ever thanked me in my life, and no one has ever given me a certificate for anything. He said, it just made my day, and he wore this badge with pride, and he was just so overjoyed. So even just saying thank you to someone can just be amazing, and share God's kindness with them, just to help them know they're appreciated, just to smile at them, just to say thank you, that was really kind. When someone does something kind for you, it doesn't take a lot. It maybe takes a moment, at the most sometimes 5 minutes, to do something really kind that can make a difference for someone else. And we can use our gifts too. We have different gifts. And what are they? What are the gifts you've got that God has given you to be kind with? You know, Dorcas made dresses, and the widow of Zarephath made bread. The Shunammite lady, she had some money. She built a room on top of her house, loft extension or something. And what has God given you? Maybe you're good at flowers. I'm rubbish with flowers. But maybe you're good with flowers, and you can just grow flowers to give them to people. There was a lady in America, and she was really sad. She was very wealthy, and she lived in a great big mansion, and she had servants, but she was really, really sad. And one of her nephews came to a famous psychologist in America and said, please, can you help this person, my great aunt, I think she was. She's so sad, and she wants to die, and she's got so much. And so the psychologist went to the house, and he was talking to her, and he noticed that she had lots of African violets in the house. She liked these little African violets, and she'd grown a lot and propagated them. And the psychologist said to her, you know, you've got lovely flowers here. You know, why have you got so many just for you? You could find someone that needs a flower and take it to them. And she's like, oh, no, I couldn't do that. And he said, well, just give it a try. Just experiment with it for a week. I just want every day you to go out in your car and find someone to give a flower to. And so she did this. She took a pot of flowers every day, and she went out to the where shall I go? Well, I'll go to the old people's home. I'll leave some flowers there. And I'll go to this other place, and I'll leave some flowers there. And I'll go to the place for battered women, and I'll leave one there. And so she started this ministry, and she found out she'd read the paper, and when people had a baby, she'd take them a flower. When they died, she took the family a flower. When they were sick, she took people a flower. And she flourished. She just, that was her thing, these African violets. And when she died, quite a long time later, of a natural death, there were thousands of people at her funeral in her town, because she was known as the African Violet Lady. And she had done this, and it had transformed her life. The one thing she was good at, and it changed her life, and it changed the community around her. We can love others as God loves us. Until we've experienced God's love in our own hearts, it's hard for it to come out again. If I've not experienced God's love in here, how can I know how to love somebody else? So we need to think deeply of God's love, make sure we're totally filled up with it. I like to think of us as God's love pouring down on us all the time, like like good rain. I live in Scotland, we get lots of rain. So I just imagine that that rain is God's love pouring down on me all the time. And sometimes when we're not kind to people, it's like you put an umbrella over their head and they can't feel that love. It's there, it's pouring down on them generously. But people and lives have happened and things have happened, so that person can't experience God's love. This umbrella is over them. And God says, you're funnels. You're not to be umbrellas. You've got to be funnels. You've got to hold your arms wide and catch as much of my love as possible and funnel it in a concentrated way into people's lives. That's what you're here to do. And we're also here to scatter God's love generously. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. We can just scatter God's love generously. We don't even have to think about, does this person deserve this? I wonder if I gave this man a pound, you know, this beggar, how will he use that? You know, maybe he'll buy some drink. Maybe I shouldn't. You know, God says, just do it. You know, he fed the 5,000. He didn't ask any questions about what they were going to do the next day or who they were or what their lives were like. He just fed them, scattered his love generously. And we can keep looking for fresh ways to experience God's love, because it's always there. We can experience God's love new every day, and we can help other people experience God's love in new and creative ways. I was just on a bus the other day, and there was a website that said, if you're cooking a dinner, make one portion extra and find someone else in your street who needs it. Just something simple like that. And I thought, what a good idea. And there was a website about how to do that and how you might be able to share your food. So go and feed a lonely old person with an extra portion of your meal rather than stick it in the recycling bin or whatever at the end. You know, that's a fresh way for people to experience God's love, to build neighborly connection, for them to come and think about the difference it could make. There's an old lady that lives underneath our flat in Scotland, and she's had a benign brain tumor, so she's had part of her brain removed, and she struggles with lots of different things because of that. And she was very suspicious about Adventists. So we tried to make friends with her, and we look after her cats when she goes away on holiday and things like that, and do different things for her. And the other day, her washing machine needed a new seal around the door, and Bernie spent 5 hours trying to figure out how to put a new seal back on it for her. And at the end of the time that he'd spent with her, she said, she knows Bernie works for the church. She said, I want to give you this money. She said, I know you won't keep it for yourself, but I want you to put it in your ingathering tin. And she gave him £40 for the ingathering tin. And she's also started to come along to a ministry that Creve Church has, which ladies come and they sew things for people who are, for women who've been abused, and they go into a refuge. When they go into a new house, they have nothing. Often it's shabby furniture. We make great big quilts out of material that's been donated to us by curtain samples. And so this lady who doesn't get out very much, she now comes to our hearts and hands with us, and she comes along to the Adventist church that she was very suspicious of, and she sits there with all the other Adventist ladies, and she knits scarves. And that's like one of her outings in the month. And so just that little bits of kindness, looking after her cat, chatting to her, fixing her washing machine, even though it was a pain, actually, we just never know where that's going to go, where that's going to lead. If we think back to the scripture reading about the sheep and the goats that we read, it's a powerful story. It's really interesting what happens there. That God, Jesus divides the sheep and the goats, and these are the ones that did the acts of kindness, and these are the ones that didn't do the acts of kindness. And if we think back, actually, to the people that I talked about at the beginning, if you think back to Dorcas, if you think back to Mary and Martha, if you think back to the Shunammite woman and the widow of Zarephath, they all have something in common. I didn't realize until I was working on this sermon. Can anyone think about what that was? They all had a resurrection. The widow of Zarephath's son was raised. The Shunammite woman's son was raised. Mary Martha's brother was raised. Dorcas was raised. They all experienced a resurrection in this life, here and now. When you think about it, in the Bible, there's many great men, many great women, and they weren't resurrected. They did amazing things, but they just died. But these people who did small acts of kindness, very simple things, nothing really big at all, but they experienced a resurrection. Wow. And that's what happens at the end of time when there's the sheep and the goats. And We read here, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. These acts of kindness are what is being remembered here. These acts of kindness are something so powerful that they might seem quite small to us, but they are so powerful. They are shaping us and preparing us for the resurrection, for eternity. So these simple little things that we think are just actually quite small, they're so powerful. They're part of shaping us, part of shaping our journey into heaven forever, where God will provide all we need forever. He will give us drink a water of life that will keep us living forever. He will feed us forever, clothe us forever, forgive us forever, free us forever. He will do all these wonderful things for us because we took the time here and now on this earth to do something kind to someone else. May God bless you today. As you go out, leave here and you think about who can I be kind to this week, this day, every day, because every time we do that, we are sharing God's love in a hurting world. Amen. May the wonderful and rich love of God fall down on us daily, fill our lives. May we capture as much of it as we can, that we may pour it into this world to share your love and kindness in these hurting places, that we may see you again coming soon and live with you forever in love. In Jesus' name, amen.